As many of you know, this has been a busy week for the Potters. So that is one reason why you will not see a PowerPoint, okay? But this morning we are going to be in Nehemiah chapter 10. And so you can turn there. And we'll actually be a little bit in the end of chapter 9 as well. But that kind of introduces chapter 10. And so, again, this morning, you know, we get excited about missions, but I want you to see something here, too. Here we are, we're blessing more missionaries than we have before, right? Here we are, we're ministering in the area of BGMC, and last year, because of our giving and our dedication to giving, giving over $7,000 to BGMC, and what an awesome thing that is. The tools that have went out. And now we're supporting people that are going out on a regular basis more and more. Right? That's a reason to rejoice. Another thing to rejoice and celebrate is look around you. Look what the Lord has done. Again, I don't know if you noticed, but even there, and we can close those back doors. Actually, Tim, could you do that me a favor too and hit those too? Is at the sound. I know some people, you know, have that perceptive ear. Some people not as much, right? But the sound is way different in here. I walked into here during the week, and I just started talking. I wasn't talking to myself. All right, like, hey, John, how you doing? Oh, I'm great. But the sound was just different. I felt like I was in a small room talking. And amen. Woo! Just to give you a little detail, because I tend to be a detail-oriented person, when you look underneath these, there's actually some space, and they put 1x4s for you construction guys out there, and they hung them on that, and the reason being is as the sound's going out, it soaks into it, and then when it hits off the wall, it stays in there. So it's a more absorption that takes place because of the design. They actually helped to design Teen Challenge as well, and their worship area, and just amazing there as well. And the guy is a Christian. He actually goes to an Assembly of God church, I believe in Brookings, has a heart for churches. And just see God's hand in it and through it. And it happens through sacrifice, doesn't it? It happens when those that say, you know what? I believe in the mission at Mitchell Assembly of God. I believe in the future of Mitchell Assembly of God. These are just panels, but I believe that they represent something bigger. They represent a mission. They represent us as the body of Christ. And they represent a willing sacrifice to go, you know what? I'm going to give this to the church knowing that we are ministering locally and around the world. You know, I was talking to Jeff Nelson, a missionary we had come and speak and got to bless him as well. And when Jeff Nelson and I talked, he talked about two words, centrifugal and centripetal. And I'll break that down for you, okay? Centripetal is the core, focusing on the core, discipleship and growing the body, the core of who's in your church, right? And then centrifugal is going out, right? It's the missional aspect. It's the launching aspect. It's the reaching the world, knowing that Jesus said, go to every tribe, every nation, that in heaven, every tribe, every nation will be represented because you went, because you sent, because you prayed, right? Now, a lot of problems with churches is we get very inwardly focused and we begin to erode on ourselves. Because we're so focused on ourselves. Well, we need to reach here. We need to reach here. We need to reach me. The church service is built for me. And I didn't like this. And I didn't like that. Because this is the me church. See, if we focus too much on the centripetal, we can, instead of doing love well here, we can focus on loving this guy. I mean me and myself and I. And me, it's all about me, all about me. I remember a speaker one time, she's like a robot. She's like, what about me? What about me? What about me? And we tend to move that way, right? And so, again, we need to be centripetal. We need to have a love and a joy in the church so that when people come, they go, wow, I really like that church. Or as Reese, who came here, said on Good Friday service when he came, a young man that came in, I invited him to come and he came and he just said, I just felt the love of God from everybody. That's what we want. That's what we want. So we do need to focus on the centripetal, but then we need to focus on the centrifugal, which is this, Buddy Barrel, right? Which is this, sending our missionaries like the chapels out to reach lives that would not be reached if we didn't send them. That they couldn't do what they do if you didn't do it with them and partner with them. See, because we have to be both. We have to be centripetal and centrifugal. If you look at the Old Testament, this was not in my notes, okay? If you look at the Old Testament, many would say, well, God was all about Israel. He was centripetal. But what did he say to Abraham? Abraham, I'm going to bless you so you can do what? Bless the nations. I'm going to bless you and use you to bless the nations. See, even at that Abraham promise, there was a call to be centrifugal, to blow the bugle. I just made that up, okay? To go out, to announce, to proclaim. You see, Israel thought it was all about me, and when they did, they begin to erode. You notice even in Acts, God used, now persecution, we had a discussion about this a few days ago, but persecution can sometimes work out badly. In the state of Japan, who were sending Michael Schwebach to go and minister Japan, church history, at one time, Japan killed all the Christians, okay? There was no revive. There wasn't, the church thrived. They died and went to be with the Lord. But persecution does not always equal growth, okay? So don't like start praying, look, God, I just pray for persecution to come on the church of the United States. We're then going to be hot and on fire and like coals burning bright, okay? Not necessarily. We could, it has happened in places like Romania and places like the persecuted church where things are growing and the underground church was thriving in China, and that's true. And we look at Acts and that was true where God used persecution to send them out. But a lot of times that happened because of their disobedience. Do we want to be sent out because of our disobedience, or do we want to send out because we get what it means to reach the nations? We get what it means to go out and do something incredible for him. And I believe that we're being both here. I believe that this is evidence that we are being centripetal, that we're going to be a local mission to our world. That I believe Vacation Bible School is a step towards being a minister, all of us, to our local world, our local area. And this shows that. And I believe that BGMC and missions to our six missionaries that we've taken on is showing that we are centrifugal, that we believe that the gospel needs to be spread, that we need to go out, and that we need to invite, and that we need to do what God has called us to do. So, with that said, I want us to understand, too, the biggest blessing we could say is, wow, the blessings that we have around us are blessings that we hear around the world. But the biggest blessing that we have is applying God's word. And that includes both, doesn't it? Because applying God's word includes the centrifugal, the centripetal, okay? And so the application of our lives. You know, it's one thing to talk about something. It's another thing to take specific actions to engage. A young man can tell his girlfriend he loves her over and over again. Oh, I love you, baby. I love you, baby. I love you, baby. Right? We hear it a lot in our culture, right? But it's another thing for him to physically go out there and buy this, right? To buy the engagement ring. This doesn't have a diamond on it. Okay. But to go out there and then get on one knee. It's another thing when the young man then takes the courage to then approach the father-in-law, which is very intimidating, even if he's a nice guy, I can witness, all right? And say, can I ask for your daughter's hand in marriage? Because I know that you've taken such good care of your daughter, that I want to honor you by asking, right? There's difference between our words and then difference when we actually take steps of action. Our relationship with God requires action. If you're taking notes, I have just four simple statements. One is sign up. Sign up. Sign up to be a world changer. Number two, take responsibility. Take responsibility for your action. First is sign up. Second is take responsibility. Third is spell it out. Spell out your next steps that you're going to take. You know, so many times we have well wishes. We come into church and we get revived and we get excited. And then we go outside of it and we're like, what did he preach on? What did they preach? I've been there, okay? I hear a really good sermon and I come out and eat some lunch. I'm thinking about apple pie. I'm thinking about, you know, whatever. And apple pie's really good. But you need, you know, again, he is the bread of life. We need to digest him. We need to take him in. We need all those nutrients from him. And then lastly, we need to act on them. Sign up, take responsibility, spell out your next steps, and act on them. After the prayer of chapter 9, Nehemiah writes in verse 38 and 39, if you want to go there, chapter 9, verse 38 and 39, in view of all this, we are making a binding agreement, putting it in writing, and our leaders, our Levites and our priests, are affixing their seals to it. Not the art kind, by the way. It's the physical seal, like you would seal an envelope, or when they took those insignias and they would seal it. It's a means of a signature. So what's going on? Let's rewind a little bit, right? They've just prayed this incredible prayer, right? We walked through it last week. It was a prayer of God and his character, seeing his character. Then it was seeing our flaws, seeing our brokenness, and then seeing what? Thirdly, his everlasting love, his call to us to come back, his call for us to be the people of God, to live like the people of God, to be everything just like he is, made in his image. His character, just like him. And so they just had this incredible prayer in chapter 9 where we see all of those things. And they say, we have to respond to this amazing love. God, you have blown us away and we can't just sit back and not respond. When I asked Natalie to marry me, she laughed, she cried, we hugged. It was great. Okay, but that's really what happened. Like, she's like, beautiful. You know? there was a response, right? And not just an emotional response, because we planned the wedding, right? We took those steps. We took those steps. Their response was, sign me up. Nehemiah lists all these guys from verse 1 to 27. You'll see that long list there in chapter 10. And in 28, he sums it up by basically saying, everybody took part. Read it with me if you want. The rest of the people, the priests, the Levites, the gatekeepers, the singers, the temple servants, and all who separated themselves from their neighboring peoples for the sake of the law of God, together with their wives and all their sons and daughters who are able to understand, all these now join their brothers and nobles and bind themselves with a curse and an oath to follow the law of God given through Moses to the servant of God and to obey carefully all the commands, regulations, and decrees of the Lord our God. And then they began promising. They began signing. This morning, if you would, Shane, for me, I'm going to begin to have passed out a Christian declaration. It's a declaration of a world changer. And my point to you goes beyond this piece of paper, but will you sign up to be a world changer? Some of you have come week after week, year after year, and you came to hear, and you've come to hear the word of God, and you've come to pray. Now, will you again, as we mentioned earlier, put action after your statement of confession, right? Even in that prayer, there's a confession. God, we have not done this. We have not done that. God, rend our hearts, oh God. God, make us new. We rely on your everlasting love. There was confession that took place, and then they took out and they signed an oath. They signed an oath before God. They signed an oath before him. I signed this declaration almost a decade ago. If you compare this declaration and you go through scripture, you see it's very scriptural. It's very scriptural. I signed this declaration almost a decade ago, and this declaration of a world changer is again being passed out. It isn't on fancy paper, okay, but there's a little decorative writing there. But it does carry a lot of depth when you live this out. And if you would, again, it's not something, I'm not making you sign this, I'm not having you turn this in, okay, this is not an assignment, okay? But what I do want you to do is I want you to look at it, and if you would, too, kind of like a little bit liturgy, if you will, but I'd like you to read it along with me if you can. I'll kind of go slow. I'll just begin here, ready? The Declaration of a World Changer. Here we go. Today, I will live honorably through my thoughts, actions, and speech. I choose to be full of faith. I will not only be a hearer, but a doer of the word of God. I will serve before I demand. I will love and not hate. I will give before I take. Today, I choose to make a difference in this world and to be a part of something bigger than myself. I choose to dedicate my life to prayer and ask God for his miraculous power and the courage to do the impossible. I will make godly relationships a priority in my life as I esteem others higher than myself. Today, I will live my life in such a way that I will change the world. Powerful, huh? If you really read that and you really dissect that, we were on a mission trip and we would hand these out to teenagers and we would repeat this every morning. And when a bad attitude was rising up inside of somebody, they'd say, well, you know what? Today, I choose to be a world changer. Today, I choose to put others before myself. I choose to dedicate my life to prayer and ask God for his miraculous power. So when we saw people in front of us that had a desperate need, today I choose, right, to dedicate my life to prayer and ask God for his miraculous power and the courage to do the impossible. God, help me with this today. But I believe you can use me today as a vessel for you. My challenge to you this morning is to put your name on the line. If you analyze this, you'll see it's very biblical. The people of God were putting signatures on the covenant of God, the contract of God. Relationship with God calls us to action. Calls us to action. Calls us to action. When I signed this declaration of world changer while I was doing missions with Global Expeditions, I actually memorized it at that time. I actually have an old faded t-shirt from, now it's about, we did it before this, but then I got the shirt in like 2005. So it's an old shirt, so you can see it fading in the wash because I've worn it so many times. But, you know, do I always live it out? No, I fail, right? I fail. But I'm challenged to live up to this commitment in my Christian faith. He gave his life. His divine sacrifice compels us to respond to that great love. Now, I want us to get this. I'm not trying to earn his love. I'm not trying to earn his love. I'm responding to his great love. That's a huge thing that we need to remember over and over and over again. I'm not trying to earn it. I'm responding to it. There's a big difference. Habits take time to develop, don't they? I mean, you know, I hope everybody has the habit of brushing their teeth, right? But you start that when you're a little kid, right? Your parents go, okay, it's time to brush your teeth. Let's go to the bathroom. And I do this with my kids. I'm like, count now. 1, 2, 3. And when they get to 10, they spit, okay? If that grosses you out, I apologize. But but again, and we do the up, we do the bottom, and then we do. But again, it's a habit, right? And habits take a time to form. They take time. In fact, Thomas Aquinas said, only a habit can die by a habit. And Paul tells us in Colossians 3, through Christ's enabling power to take off the old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. We have to make it a practice to put off the old self. Right? We take a shower every day. Most of us take a shower every day. And when we take that shower, right, we're just getting off the old dead skin. We're getting out soap. We're rubbing, right? It's a habit, right? And that habit's kind of hard to forget. And plus, I enjoy the water, right? But it's a habit that we built in. And Paul's saying the same way, every day, take off the old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. We have to make it a practice to put off the old self. Paul says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. We're a little different than those in the Old Testament, right? We're not required to follow Levitical law, but yet we're asked to sign up to God's way of living. Doesn't mean we take cut and paste chapter 10 or cut and paste Levitical law and say, well, now as Christians today, we have to do everything that they did. No, but we're signing up. We're committing to follow him. There's a call to commitment in chapter 10. Like the Israelites in Nehemiah, we are called to point number two, take responsibility for our actions. They took on responsibility in the area of relationships. They realized that the culture surrounding them, their enemies, their Sanballats, their Tobias, right? These enemies that were trying to come in and destroy the community of faith, destroy their wall, destroy any part of their identity. But yet the Israelites were saying, you know what? I know you guys are destroyers. I know you guys want to see us ruined. And I know that you serve other gods blatantly and powerfully and with a passion, because they did. But you know what? Here's my daughter. Here's my daughter. Do you want your daughter to look like them? To talk like them? To live like them? Again, we believe every tribe, every nation needs to be represented. But at that time, the Israelites were weak. And we see that even throughout in the past history before, right? The book of Judges, where again, Israel, they call on God. God brings a deliverer. And then they get right back into sin. And then they get right back into taking on everything that's around them. Syncretism. Oh, I'll add a little Buddhism, I'll add a little Islam, I'll add a little Christianity. I'll add a little Jehovah's Witness, I'll add a little Mormonism, I'll add a little Pentecostalism. Okay, Jehovah's Witness, Mormon, they're cults, okay? That's not Christianity. Although it may try to mask itself as Christianity, that's why Paul and others say they come in like sheep, but they are wolves among sheep. There are wolves among sheep, and they try to lure you out with a gospel that's not a real gospel. And so a lot of times in a weak state, we're not ready to missionary date. We're not ready to, like, I'm going to lead them to Christ, they're going to get baptized, and they're going to get filled with the Holy Spirit, and then we'll get married, right? That wasn't it. They were not ministering in a place of strength. They, as a culture, were weak and just coming back to the Lord. And they were saying, do not intermarry with the enemies that are around you. And who's a key example? And they even use it in the book of Nehemiah. King Solomon, right? King Solomon, full of wisdom. But yet he starts intermarrying all these different women that follow other gods. And they lead him astray. It's one of the greatest tragedies. Because here he has so much wisdom. He has so much to pass on that is scripture even. But yet he falls away because of the ladies. They pull him away from the Lord. The Apostle Paul even encouraged believers in the New Testament to not marry those who do not know Jesus, knowing that their marriage partner could sway them away from God. When we take responsibility and when we take commitment to follow God's law, in verse 31, they declare, when the neighboring peoples bring merchandise or grain to sell on the Sabbath, we will not buy from them on the Sabbath or on a holy day. They're saying, we will follow your 10 commandments. And one of those key ones is to keep the Sabbath day holy. So I want you to see here. Notice here there's a focus on home, marriage, right? Then there's a focus on the marketplace, society, and then there is a focus on the church. There's a focus on the Lord. There is a focus on the temple, if you will. And then last, the action of giving to the Lord in verse 32 of chapter 10. We assume the responsibility of carrying out the commands to give a third of a shekel, it says in verse 32 of chapter 10. Each year for the service of the house of God. And it goes on to all these offerings and all these tithes. I just want to key on verse 38. It says, a priest descended from Aaron is to accompany the Levites when they receive the tithes, and the Levites are to bring a tenth of the tithe up to the house of our God, to the storerooms of the treasury. You see, the Persian king had been in charge of giving them supplies, right? We remember that? Where Nehemiah says, hey, can you give us all the supplies? And the king says, hey, under the command of the Lord and the movement of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to do it. I'm signing this letter, even though I told you forever ago, well, it wasn't that long ago, we're going to stop any building of the temple, any building of the land of Judah. Now I'm signing it. It was a miracle. It was a miracle. But there came a time where the Israelites had to take responsibility and see, this is not the Persian king's job. This is my job. This is our job. We need to come together, and we need to do this, and we need to come back to what God's calling us to do. To take care of the house of God, the church, if you will. They were to take care, they were to contribute, they were to do these things. So you see, our Christianity should affect every part of our life, our home, our workplace, and our church, where we come to worship the Lord. It affects every part. And thirdly, you see, they spelled out their next steps. They spelled them out. It was very clear that they were going to do things different, and they had action steps to do it. They made goals, and they were building habits. My question to you is, what kind of habits are you going to do? What kind of habits are you building even now? What kind of habits are you going to begin doing? Maybe you need to write down on the world changer paper on the back, what kind of God-shaped goals are you going to make? What steps are you going to take in ministering to those in your home better? What ways and what steps are you going to take to minister in your place of work? What ways are you going to honor the Lord in your home and in your job and in your church? It would take an ability to stand up for the Lord, to stand up for the Lord. And as a pastor and as your pastor, I challenge you, in the area of giving to God. Are you giving the way God would have you give? We have shining examples of people who gave to Mitchell Assembly of God. Just look around. Just look around. These panels are an example of a legacy. I truly believe that. I don't think they're just up and, oh, I was going to be here for a little bit. It's a legacy, and it connects to eternity. It connects to eternity. It took sacrifice. It took going above and beyond. And it's easy to say, that's nice. It's easy to sit back and hear the message clearer with no investment of your own. It reminds me of how we in America get used to things rather than catching the heart of hard work. I find with teenagers, and again, I'm not trying to pit teenagers. Okay, so don't feel that way. But we have hardworking teenagers here. But, you know, I know with teenagers, it's like, well, shouldn't I have an iPad? I mean, I'm cool. You know, I should have a cell phone at the age of 13. Hello, all my friends do. Well, that's because your parents spoiled them, okay? Because we're spoiling a generation. Okay, I'm not against, I know this is being recorded too. I'm not against kids having cell phones necessarily, okay? Parents say, hey, I can call my dad and they know where their kids are. I see the benefits, okay? But in general, it creates a almost, I deserve this. I deserve what I have. I'm an American. I live in South Dakota. I deserve these things. And so easily, our society can get into that mindset. Well, instead of soaking up and just being in awe of the gifts of God, in awe of the jobs that he's brought, in awe of the provision that he's done, then we can get to a place where we don't have that awe. So don't get me wrong, South Dakota is some of the hardest working people, okay, in the country, and I truly believe that. But have you caught the DNA of giving with a heart of sacrifice? Are you catching it? Are you in the process of? We enjoy the benefits of God's blessing. If we're not careful, we'll lose what we have by only riding on the coattails. And I believe that that's the church in the United States. I believe that's us here. I believe that's in many places. We sometimes ride on the coattails of a previous generation, don't we? You know, I think of like the World War II generation. I think of, you know, somebody said to me, they said, you know, somebody told me at work, I'm a dying breed. You know, why would they say that? Because they're seeing a generation come up that doesn't get what it means to work hard. That doesn't get what it means to put in the time and to not expect right away. But it takes time to develop. It takes time to cultivate the ground, doesn't it? You know, put in the seed and boom, corn, you know? Yeah, you know, all that kind of stuff. It takes time for things to grow. And a lot of time we just want to ride on the coattails of others in previous generations. But Nehemiah's generation, they said, we're not riding on anybody's coattails. We're committing to the Lord right now. And we're going to follow after him, and we're going to do what he says, and we're going to take these action steps. We're going to do. We're going to be, you know, as the church, I see it this way. We're going to be his hands and feet. We are not only signing up, but we're then taking active steps together as a body. I am so glad we have a heart here to reach the nations. I'm so glad. This is a mission Sunday, and we support six missionaries, and we go above and beyond to be GMC and Speed the Light. And I think that's so awesome. They need us. They need us. They could not do what they do without our help. And as I close today, I ask you to take that declaration of a world changer in hand, even at this time, if you would. And I'm asking you, if you haven't already, and to prayerfully consider it. And I'm not saying just sign a paper, but to sign it and to say, you know what? I'm committing to be a world changer. And maybe put it in a place, maybe you're putting it on your fridge. Maybe you put it on your mirror. Maybe you put it in your Bible, so every time you have quiet time, you just open it up. Today I choose to be full of faith. I will not only be a hearer, but a doer of the word of God. I will serve before I demand. I will love and not hate. I will give before I take. Today I choose to make a difference in this world and be a part of something bigger than myself. I'm going to be a world changer for Jesus. It's not a special, it's not some magical thing like, woo, now I said this and now I'm going to be amazing. But I believe that when we get habits of putting on Christ, as Paul says, of taking off the old self, right, and putting on the new self, which is being renewed in him, putting on compassion, putting on gentleness, putting on kindness, that when we do that on a daily basis and make it a habit, I believe that we will live differently. Maybe memorize this even. Maybe memorize the declaration of a world changer. It will be a reminder of the call of God to be a world changer for Jesus. He died for us. He suffered on the cross so that we could live an eternity with him. Would you bow your heads with me? As you're listening to this message, I always want to throw out there, I haven't actually in a couple of weeks, but I want to give the opportunity, if you want to ask Jesus in your heart, or you want to recommit your life to Jesus, and you see that he's calling you to sign up, and maybe you haven't in a while, or maybe you haven't at all, but you want the opportunity, I ask that you would lift up your hand, and I'd love to pray with you. I'd love to pray with you. I see that hand, you can put that down. I'm just going to take a couple more moments. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you raise your hand, I ask that you just pray this prayer with me. Jesus, I love you. I know that you died for me. I know that I don't have to earn my salvation, but I know that you're asking me to respond to your great love. Clean me out on the inside. Transform me in the inner man and make me new. I want to be a follower of you. I believe that you are sinless, that you came and lived a sinless life, that you died for all of us that come and believe you, and you rose again. Be my Savior. be my God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. He loves us, amen. And he's transforming us on the inside, and he sees us with eyes of compassion, and he makes us new. Would you stand with me? If you would just stand with me at this time. May the grace of our Lord be with you now and always. May you be found faithful until he comes. We thank you, Lord, for this service. We thank you for an opportunity to, as a body, to commune with you and to be encouraged by your word. We thank you, God. We ask that you bless this day in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And as you guys always know, Sunday school will be at 11 o'clock there.